W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Rail operations along the U.S. southwest border are set to resume after briefly pausing to deal with the migrant surge. House Speaker Mike Johnson demanding the president take executive action to stem the surge of crossings. ABC's Rachel Scott.
The White House has acknowledged the surge at the border. We are seeing the highest number of migrants apprehended in decades. More than 12,000 on Monday, 10,000 on Tuesday, and another 10,000 on Wednesday.
As Americans gather for the holidays, respiratory illness activity is elevated or increasing across most areas of the country. 23 states plus D.C. and New York City are experiencing high or very high levels. The U.N. Security Council today adopting a resolution calling for unhindered and expanded humanitarian access throughout Gaza. The U.S. and Russia abstained from the vote. President Biden announcing he's granting clemency to nearly a dozen people who've been serving long prison sentences for nonviolent drug offenses and pardoning certain marijuana offenses. This is ABC News.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A child in Wisconsin has died from RSV. The state health department is not providing any more details than that. Health experts say cases of respiratory infections like RSV, flu, and COVID-19 are spiking in Wisconsin. Wisconsin ranks 49th among states for funding public health, according to the United Health Foundation. Dave Reinders runs the Buffalo County Health Department. He says most of his budget comes from local property taxes, which is not enough for efforts like tobacco prevention.
What we don't have is really a strong enough voice and presence to really work with community intensively.
Wisconsin's public health spending is supplemented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The federal lawsuit regarding sexual assault and hazing on the football team in the Proctor School District has been settled. According to a Northern News Now report, the victim was sexually assaulted with a toilet plunger in 2021, and the suit was filed in August of 2022. The former player who assaulted the victim was sentenced to juvenile probation in June of 2022, as he was 17 years old at the time of the incident. The contents of the settlement are not known, but the victim did receive some money. Wisconsin regulators have been forced to stop developing standards for limiting forever chemicals in the state's groundwater. According to Governor Tony Evers, excessive compliance costs have forced the pause as economic impact projections show the cost of compliance would run $33 million over the first 2 years the standards go into effect. A 2017 law requires state agencies to obtain permission from the legislature to continue working on regulations with compliance costs of at least $10 million. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A Packers coach on the hot seat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' Joe Barry spoke to reporters. After nearly three seasons with the team, the defensive coordinator could be on his way out. After back-to-back losses to the Giants and the Buccaneers, what's it been like this week after hearing fans want him fired?
You deal with it. We had a bad game. I have to be better for our guys completely. And I put that on me all the time. But yeah, this week was in particularly hard.
NBA, the Bucks get another win at home, this time 118-114 over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks have now won 15 games in a row at Fiserv Forum. Adrian Griffin.
For us, it's taking advantage of that home stretch, being able to play in front of our crowd. Now we got three tough games on the road in New York, two against the Knicks, and then Brooklyn, then in with Cleveland. So it was good that we took care of business, but now we got to shift our mindset, to get on the road and try to get some road wins.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead.
Oofta, a damp and dreary day.
battling chances of drizzle on and off today, and also areas of fog. Otherwise, it's overcast with high temperatures climbing to the low 40s. And we won't be out of this misty cloud until Saturday afternoon. Currently, it's 37.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A blockbuster disclosure out of Michigan. We've come up with a tape of a telephone conversation involving Donald Trump. Now, this goes back to right after the 2020 election. Donald Trump, the RNC, Republican National Committee Chair, Ronna McDaniel, and then two people in Wayne County on the elections board, the two Republicans. Over in Michigan, the way they have it is that the election boards that take the certification of the votes, they don't, it's not up to them whether to certify it or not, but they receive them. You have a couple of Republican, a couple of Democrats, and it takes a majority to certify them. So let's say there are four, two Republicans, two Democrats. In this case, the two Republicans suddenly announced that they were withdrawing their certification. Now, this is Detroit. I mean, this is, I think that Biden won that thing by almost 200,000 votes. And these two clowns say, no, we're not going to certify the thing. Why did they say that? Everybody suspected that Trump got to them. And ultimately, just a spoiler alert, ultimately, the votes were certified, because then it goes to a state board, and one of the Republicans on the state board did the right thing, and it narrowly got certified. But remember, one of the things about what Trump is doing, and one of the things that these election deniers are doing, or even when you have a fair election, and even when you have votes that are tallied, there's no fraud, they simply say, quote, we won't receive them, end quote. Deception is a ministerial act. It's not a discretionary act. It doesn't matter. You could have a dummy receive them. You could have Rin Tin Tin or Lassie receive them. Anybody can receive them. They try to do this with Pence. But here is the development in Michigan. It's very serious for Trump. And frankly, it's very serious for Ronna McDaniel. Somebody taped the conversation when Trump and McDaniel called these two election board people. Called them, and here's what Trump said to them right after the election. Quote, we've got to fight for our country. We can't let these people take our country away from us. And then Ronna McDaniel, chair of the Republican National Committee, breaks in and she says, if you can go home tonight and not sign it, we'll get you attorneys. We will get you attorneys. And then Trump chimes in, we'll take care of that, end quote. This is a smoking gun of a smoking gun. let me tell you something about Trump. Remember when he went to Zelensky and tried to bribe him and say, we're not going to give you arms to defend yourselves against Russia, even though Congress had authorized it. Really what he, and then he said, you don't actually have to do the investigation of Biden. You just have to say you're doing it. And similarly, when he called Raffensperger and he called other people, he didn't, you just have to say that you're looking into it. You just have to say that you're looking into it. And when then they went to the Justice Department with the honest ones that he had there, he said to them, just say that you think there's irregularities in Georgia. We'll take care of the rest. We will take care of the rest. And here, and I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get to you shortly. But this is very, very serious because you have him calling the two people in the Detroit area who are supposed to receive the votes in a ministerial fashion. If they were sick, their secretaries could receive them. The reception is purely ministerial. And the clown says, crooked Donald Trump says, we've got to fight for our country, just like he told the insurrectionists. We can't let these people, what do you mean, Americans? These people take our country away from us. Ron McDaniel chimes in. If you can go home tonight and not sign it, we will get you attorneys. And then Trump chimes in, we'll take care of that. That was a criminal offense, that call. That was a felony, tampering with the election. There's no doubt in my mind that Jack Smith is going to use that in the case against Tanya Chutkan. And quite frankly, if I were he, I'd have one of the FBI agents call them up and say, we want you as witnesses. And if they go, well, we're going to clam up, Jack Smith legally could just say to them, fine, then you're going to be defendants. And then they will scurry massively. But here's the larger thing. Then we'll go to the lines. The larger thing is this. Ron McDaniel, up until now, has been sort of, the RNC chair, bats her eyes, tries to negotiate things. You know, she's Mitt Romney's niece, for Pete's sake. She's Mitt Romney's niece. How can she be colluding with Trump? I don't know. But she was on it, and she was encouraging them not to receive, in a ministerial way, not to accept validly cast votes and offering them assistance, attorneys. That's a criminal offense. So stand by to see if Jack Smith charges her as well, which he should, or frankly, the attorney general in Michigan. She's excellent. She really is. She's gone after the fake electors. She could charge Trump. She could charge Trump. She could also charge Ron McDaniel. And let me tell you something else. Josh Call, I got to say this again, can and should charge the fake electors, all 10 of them in this state. He should absolutely charge them. And, you know, Fannie Willis charged Trump. Jack Smith didn't object. Jack Smith was glad for the backup. He had some artillery on one flank. Well, we need artillery on the other flank. We need Josh Call to go after the fake electors in the state. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Good afternoon, Matt, and thanks for what you do, and happy Merry Christmas. With the ruling that just came down, the Supreme Court is not going to speed up Trump's trial for them. They're going to let it play out. So in other words, the Supreme Court said to the citizens of our country, we don't think it's that important. We'll let this go through the courts and see what happens. So in a way, the Supreme Court is telling America it's not that big of a deal, because if it was, they would do exactly what Jack Smith requested. But to them, it doesn't seem that important. Am I reading it wrong, Matt? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. And this is an announcement, and Bill just announced it. And this is in the Washington Post. It just came out 10 minutes ago. The Supreme Court won't fast track the ruling on Trump's claim of immunity. They announced it today. They will not fast track consideration of Donald Trump's claim on immunity for what he did as president. One sentence order, no dissents were indicated. That means the federal appeals court in Washington will be the first to review it. Tanya Chutkan's order. Arguments are scheduled for January 9. and the timing of the decision and the likelihood of an appeal to the Supreme Court after that could delay Trump's criminal trial in Washington scheduled for March 4. That just came down. Bill, thanks a lot for raising that issue in connection with what we're talking about right now. Just came down, and here's the deal. Oral argument on March, on January 9, today is the 22nd. It's 3 days before Christmas. That's just basically a week after New Year's Day, eight days after New Year's Day. That's pretty fast track. Sounds like the Court of Appeals will decide it, and that's fine. Court of Appeals can decide it. They can also decide it for the bench. What does that mean? When I was a law clerk for Judge Thomas Fairchild on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, it was very rare, but in the course of my clerkship with him, the clerks would sit in there, take notes, talk to the judge about how he wanted the opinion to come out, write a draft. There were two occasions I remember when the judges looked at each other and said, "Don't leave the courtroom. We have a decision right now." And they gave it from the bench. Very rare in the Court of Appeals, but they have done it. The D.C. Circuit can read these briefs. They have to be written over Christmas and over New Year's Eve. And so what? And then what's going to happen is there'll be an oral argument. I don't think the D.C. Court of Appeals is going to sit on it. What that means is that will then go up to the Supreme Court. They presumably will set oral argument. Frankly, it's difficult for me. Well, I shouldn't put it this way. I don't want to. It is possible. It is possible that the trial date of March 4 will be continued. But Tanya Chutkan's a very, very fine judge. And whatever the Supreme Court says, now, if the Supreme Court says he has immunity, that's the end of it. But even the tarantulas, even the bribed tarantulas, can't possibly rule that if he commits a criminal offense in office, he's insulated just because he was president at the time. They can't possibly do that. We are a government of laws, not of men and women. Government of laws. Our founding fathers said the president is not a king. He is not above the law. That would be a bridge too far. If they do that, I think all bets are off. I suspect that they are going to say, yeah, no, he does not have immunity. If the jury and Judge Tanya Chutkan find that he committed a felony. However, when are they going to say it? When are they going to say it? Normally what they do is anything they hear during the year, they have a rule. It's not a statute. I mean, it's not a requirement, but they try to get every decision out by July 1. In this case, let's just say the D.C. Circuit, the Court of Appeals, says, okay, and they issue a decision right away or they issue a decision by the end of January. The Supreme Court should issue its decision in March or April and let Tanya Chutkan try this guy, crooked Donald Trump, over the summer before the election. But you see how it's being jammed. This is Trump's strategy, and any judge, any tarantula that wants to help him can just delay it. And frankly, this is part of their strategy. Coming up, probably more breaking news coming up. We are going to talk. Where's my notes? Somebody took my notes. We're going to talk about this some more. And we're also going to talk about Carrie Lake's death.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We here at WBZH The Buzz have partnered with the Hayward Chamber of Commerce to remind you to shop local this holiday season. Small local businesses are the lifeblood of the community, and preserving them is key to preserving those things we most enjoy about the Northwoods. Small businesses are the first in local employment and charitable giving, and shopping local is the best way to stimulate a small town economy. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce and WBZH The Buzz are especially thankful to those who choose local small businesses first this holiday season.
Did you know there's an actual candy cane lane in Wisconsin? It's only real during the holidays, but one Milwaukee area neighborhood has been sharing its holiday cheer for close to 40 years. 300 residents along West Oklahoma Avenue in West Dallas decorated to be part of Candy Cane Lane this year, free to drive through and enjoy. But since 1984, $3 million in donations have been raised and given to the MAC Fund to fight cancer. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.com/Loafy's Bread. This is the...
Welcome back to Matt from the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. So I want to finish up with this report or this decision out of the U.S. Supreme Court. They are jamming this as much as they can to benefit him. Tanya Chutkan's an excellent judge. She will squeeze this trial in whenever she can, but it would have been nice to have had it in March. And now it looks like it's possible that it'll be a little later than that, but it has got to be before the election. I think she will do everything in her power to do that. This raises another issue that I have mentioned before. And that is, part of this is on Merrick Garland. And I say that and I'm a Democrat, but part of it's on Merrick Garland. He waited till last November to appoint Jack Smith in a complicated case, and Jack's done a marvelous job. He could have appointed him a year before that. This trial could have been last March or last summer. But I think Merrick Garland was afraid to do it, finally caved. But it was not too little too late. It's important. But if Trump gets in, his new attorney general will pull the plug on this case, just like he pulled the plug on Roger Stone's cases and other cases. The other thing I'll say on Merrick Garland is he appointed Jack Smith. I think the world of Jack Smith. Jack Smith's a Republican appointee. He was a assistant U.S. attorney, I think, down in Tennessee. So he's a very honest guy, very experienced guy. But he thought it'd be a good idea to file the stolen classified documents case down in the Mar-a-Lago area. He had to know that it was almost certainly going to be assigned to Eileen Mercedes Cannon. He had to know that. He may have thought, well, that makes me look fair. Baloney. Nobody's ever going to think he looks fair on the other side. They're going to lie about it. He should have filed it in Washington, D.C., which he could have. That's where Trump stole the documents. And you'd have a Tanya Chutkan, and this thing would have been farther along as well. So there have been slight delays and missteps by the Democrats yielding to these kinds of appeals. But nevertheless, I think we have a good team, and I think something is going to be done. Carrie Lake, you know, I have managed not to think of her or talk about her in a long time, an utter incompetent, down in Phoenix. You know, she was an anchor for one of the TV stations. I respect that. She was an anchor, but she has no more business running the state of Arizona or being the Senate than the man in the moon. Well, she made a mistake. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right away. She made a mistake when she lost the last election, And she went after and defamed two guys. One of them, a very famous name, but he's not related to him, Bill Gates. No, not that Bill Gates. There's the other Bill Gates and a guy named Steve Richer. These were election officials, Republicans in Maricopa County. It's a Republican county, but they're honest. And they certified the votes as they saw them. She claimed that both of them rigged the gubernatorial race and forged ballots, manipulated ballots somehow. As a result, they both got death threats, and their professional reputations were harmed, and their life was disrupted, their professional life. Richer has sued Lake for libel, for defamation. She brought a motion to dismiss, and the news just came down. That is denied. She's going to trial in a defamation case, just like Rudy Giuliani, and she's got to be awake at night thinking, if Shamos and Ruby Friedman got $148 million in Florida, Steve Richer, and he, so far he's the only one who's sued, will certainly get many millions, tens of millions, and that's on her. You know, this is a message to all these people who gathered around Donald Trump, and they drank the Kool-Aid, and they all go to jail, they go bankrupt, or both, and then what? They have to pay damages. What were they thinking? Go to the lines. Gene Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Hi. You know, in all honesty, you know, I have to pardon Merrick Garland because we have never had a situation like this in our country. And to tell the truth, you know, I saw the senators and the leading people in the Republican Party the day after the insurrection or the night of the insurrection condemning Trump's behavior. Then all of a sudden they coalesced around him and did everything they could to protect him and make it sound like it was no big deal. How in the world do you go against something like that when, I mean, it's so unbelievable, man. It's like delirium. I'd like to bring up, though, no labels, again, is rearing its ugly head right around right. Christmas. And people need to really pay attention. No labels is a label. There's no platform. There's no accountability. There's no history. And people need to be aware that a lot of the people behind this, no labels, were behind Donald Trump, have been behind people that have hurt the American people. They're for the wealthy, and there's others involved. So please, when you're at the dinner table, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we don't want Biden personally. I support Biden. I think he's doing an outstanding job, and he's honest and has integrity, and he works every day for us. However, with all of the garbage being spewed on Biden, which is really sad, this no labels thing is starting to perk itself. So, and as the horrible things coming out about the Republicans and the dirty deals they did and about Trump and all the people involved and even those people that are in the Congress and the Senate, no labels might be a little bit attractive, but be aware. Those people may have been involved in the insurrection, too. So thank you very much, and Merry Christmas, Matt. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you, Gene, and to Bill of Econowalk before you. Bill, I hadn't signed off with you as well. Gene, I love your calls, and you're right on the money, and let me give you some information. First of all, when it comes to Merrick Garland, I'm delighted he's Attorney General. I'm not dumping on him. I'm just, you know, as one of the coaches or commentators on our side, here's what I think could have been done. And Jack Smith should have been appointed a year earlier. And Jack Smith should have filed the stolen documents case in Washington, D.C. That's my view. But we will see. Both of them are terrific, and we support them 100%. And you're right about Biden. We are lucky to have Joe Biden. In history, we have always had great presidents at the right time, and he's one of them right now, and especially in foreign policy, but domestic policy, too. But I have some news on no labels. I agree with you. And the word that I am getting from people who are involved in no labels, I've talked to people who have talked to them, so you can see how accurate this is going to be. But the ticket is likely to be Joe Manchin for president and Larry Hogan for vice president. Larry Hogan is the former mayor of Maryland. He's a moderate to liberal Republican. Joe Manchin is a conservative Democrat. But what they said is, and this kills me, this slays me, they go, well, but we would only run somebody if the finals are Trump against Biden. And I'm going, wait, what are you nuts? The finals are going to be Trump against Biden. So, and if that happens, sadly, I think that takes votes away from Biden and Bobby Kennedy's son, maybe the same. I'm going to talk about that a little more, but that's very, very important to focus on that because that is what they are plotting. Coming up, a lot of news, weather, and Bob Menendez of New Jersey. You won't believe what he did. Coming up.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The weather is unseasonably mild, with high temperatures in the 40s and a chance of rain in much of Wisconsin this weekend. It could be foggy enough at times to make driving hazardous. Republicans plan to order a year-long audit of diversity policies across Wisconsin state government starting in January. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss speaking with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network.
That's my hope, that we can get that, so that we have the ability to come back and say, here are things that we want to duplicate, and here are things that we have to stop. We don't know what those are until we go through the whole process.
Voss is highly critical of DEI. He recently got the Universities of Wisconsin to freeze diversity positions after withholding money for pay raises and building projects. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake teenager has entered a guilty plea to homicide charges in relation to an October 2022 crash. Troy Hune Jr. pleaded guilty to two counts of homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle and one count of reckless driving causing great bodily harm. Hune was reportedly operating the vehicle under the influence when he crashed and rolled over, killing 15-year-old Winter Brouillard and 14-year-old Ava Garcia and injuring another 14-year-old girl. Hune was traveling at a high rate of speed at the time of the crash. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature would enshrine in state law that workers who drive for companies like Uber and DoorDash are not employees of the companies. The drivers would not be subject to state minimum wage laws, nor would the companies be required to pay into unemployment insurance or provide workers' compensation. The bill calls for a type of savings account the companies could choose to pay into and drivers could withdraw from to pay for health insurance premiums or transfer into a retirement account. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Packers coach on the hot seat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' Joe Barry spoke to reporters. After nearly three seasons with the team, the defensive coordinator could be on his way out. After back-to-back losses to the Giants and the Buccaneers, what's it been like this week after hearing fans want him fired?
You deal with it. We had a bad game. I have to be better for our guys completely. And I put that on me all the time. But yeah, this week was in particularly hard.
NBA, the Bucks get another win at home, this time 118 to 114 over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks have now won 15 games in a row at Fiserv Forum. Adrian Griffin.
For us, it's taking advantage of that home stretch, being able to play in front of our crowd. Now we got three tough games on the road in New York, two against the Knicks and then Brooklyn, then in with Cleveland. So it was good that we took care of business, but now we got to shift our mindset. To get on the road and try to get some road wins.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station. Or
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead.
Oofta, a damp and dreary day. Battling chances of drizzle on and off today. And also areas of fog. Otherwise, it's overcast with high temperatures climbing to the low 40s. And we won't be out of this misty cloud until Saturday afternoon. Currently, it's 37.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain
stops my mind from wandering where it will.
Welcome back to Matt Fendereck. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I just want to say a little bit about J6. It was well thought out. It was planned ahead of time. Our Senator Johnson, he had the fake electors. That was all planned out. They went to the Capitol. That was planned out. Trump, before J6, was calling around to the battleground states to get them to flip their votes to try to overturn the election. And then it was going on. You can't tell me they didn't know all them people were coming to D.C. J6. It's impossible not to know that. Was there any extra law enforcement on duty? No. Was the National Guard notified? No. So they knew this was all going to come down. They knew what was going to happen there because it could have easily been stopped, but it didn't have anybody nobody called up to do it. And then, and the top end off, he rubs up the crowd, you know, and instigates them to go in there. They went in there saying he was going to follow them, for Christ's sakes. And the thing that really uncorks me about the whole thing, there's a video on the whole thing. And then when it was going on, he sat in the Oval Office and watched it. He was rooting for them to tear the Capitol apart. I mean, except for a couple of heroes, the Capitol Police, the whole thing might have panned out the way he wanted it to, you know. And it's just a crime that they didn't call up the National Guard, because this all could have been stopped. They knew about it, they planned it, and they let it go on. For anybody to say J6 was not an insurrection, they just don't want to believe. They just got their head stuck in the ground, and they don't want to pop up and realize what happened there. So that's my whole J6 thing. It happened. It was an insurrection by the President of the United States, and this guy, this is 3 years, for crying out loud, this has been going on. And Garland, yeah, he may even be a good man, but he dropped the ball too. He should have been going. He should have went after this at least a year earlier. It shouldn't even be this far. Okay, that's my rant for the day. And I got to end this with you. You have a great holiday there, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. No, that's not your rant. You always have a lot to say, and I appreciate that. And I agree. And I want to leave everybody before we go to the next topic with the implications of what you're saying. Remember, all that they had to do was do one of two things: either have Mike Pence say he's in doubt and we're going to kick this over to the Congress, and then Trump would have won, because under the Constitution, each delegation gets one vote, and there are more Republican delegations than Democratic, even though the Republican delegations are smaller. The other thing was they could whisk Mike Pence away. Remember, the Secret Service, and there were some who were in on it with Trump, said, "Get in the limousine, Mr. Vice President. We're afraid of your safety." And if he had gotten in that limousine, they would have driven away from the Capitol. They would have locked the back doors from the front and driven him up to Camp David or someone. And then they all would have been sitting around saying, "Well, the Constitution says the vice president has to receive the votes." And the Democrats would say, "That's a ministerial function. Anybody can receive them. President of the Senate can receive them." They'll say no. They'd all leave. And then what would happen is there'd be a lawsuit in front of Tanya Chutkan. She'd say, "No, Biden's the president." They go to the Supreme Court, like with immunity. Supreme Court, the tarantulas would say, "No, you got to go to the Court of Appeals." Court of Appeals would hear it. Then they go to the Supreme Court. The tarantulas would sit on it till March, and Trump would have stayed in as president beyond January 20. And the longer he stays on, especially if he starts some foreign police action or something, it becomes much more difficult to dislodge him. That almost happened because Donald Trump is crooked, and he ginned up people. 1,200 of them have been charged, and close to 1,000, I think, have gotten some jail time, some of them over 20 years, most of them 6 months or a couple of years. I would have given longer jail times to guys that were running through the thing saying, "Hang the vice president, murder the vice president." I mean, why wasn't that more firmly punished in the federal courts And listen, Merrick Garland's a good guy. It is, you know, but it is what it is, and this is what has happened. But I couldn't agree with you more. Northwoods Terry, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Northwoods Terry?
Okay, Matt. Yeah, Matt. Great show as usual. By the way, I am in Dave Obey's old district and Tiffany's now. So just to clear that up, Matt. But anyway, Matt, you got to talk me off the ledge here. Here's my fear about Social Security, Matt, being that I have a pension and I get Social Security. I'm nervous about, well, the Republicans pulling the scam that, oh, you got a pension? You don't need your Social Security. By God, you better. Yeah, we're just going to quit sending you a Social Security check since you got a, you're double dipping. So just live off your pension. Just, I don't know if I'm paranoid or not. It seems like I've heard that, Matt. So can you comment about that? Maybe you didn't hear anything about it. I don't know, but it's got me kind of nervous.
Yeah, well, I can comment about it. And let me tell you something. You know, they're honest Republicans, but there are many of them that are not. And one of the things in corporate takeovers and in the administration, especially when you have new ownership, is a pension is a big fat pile of money people want to get their hands on. It's like a big fat steak or a pig roast. And there have been cases where there have been acquisitions of companies, and the acquirers will then seize the pension funds, do stuff with them. There are protections, but frequently they're not successful. I know of one case where an acquiring company came in and they got rid of the blue-collar guys' pensions but kept the white-collar guys' pensions, and that ended up in litigation. This kind of stuff happens, and if you don't think it does, you're naive. Remember, the Republican Party in 1935 said that Social Security was unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court, which were MAGA-type tarantulas even back then, were going to hold it unconstitutional until Franklin Roosevelt said he'd pack the court. They have tried to get at Social Security since 1935. And they usually do it by saying they're going to, quote, improve it, end quote. Franklin Roosevelt said, they just say they want to improve it. Of course they do. Of course they do. It's a great speech. They don't want to improve it. What they're doing now, I think, Northwoods Terry, is they'd have a hard time getting away with the double-dipping argument, although they might be considering it. But I think what they do want to do is privatize it and say that the money you put into Social Security, you can put into a 401k or an IRA. And then that gets invested, and you'll do so much better than Social Security. Well, that's baloney. Most people don't know how to invest. They really don't. They're not pros. They don't stay up on it. They get cheated. And if you say the government's going to invest it for you, that's ridiculous. We already have Social Security. The problem is that before Franklin Roosevelt, old folks sometimes wouldn't have enough food. They'd live in a hut somewhere with no heat. Social Security is the economic foundation of the middle class, even if they do have a union pension, and some don't. But the point is, you'll get a check that at least will let you rent an apartment somewhere with heat, okay? You're not going to freeze during the winter, and some food. And yeah, you may have some other savings and all that. If you take away Social Security from people, you are going to put some in the middle class back the way they were in the 1920s. And we cannot permit that. You have to be vigilant against the Republican Party. Thanks for calling. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. All the rest of you stay on the line. I'll get you in order. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan.
Three quick points, Matt. Happy holidays to all of your businesses that support your show. Thanks, and happy holidays to all of your great callers every day. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you, Matt, for all you do, for all you have always done for this country and educating us now. Thank you and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you too, my friend. Thank you for calling. Bob of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Bob?
Well, the right-wing talk show this morning, they're telling me that people like me are communists because we care about community. or we're socialists because we're social and not antisocial, or that we're Marxists. And frankly, I don't mind it if they accuse me of being a Marxist, because Groucho Marx is great.
Yeah, that's a great line. And let me tell you something. You want to talk about communists and Marxists? Who went to Moscow, Russia on the 4th of July in 2018? It was not a Democrat. It was Ron Johnson. And who went over there and hobnobbed with the Russian oligarchs? It was the head of the heads of the NRA. And who is obsequious to Putin, servile to Putin in a disgusting way, because frankly, he's been bribed and blackmailed by Putin and been funded by Putin and the oligarchs for 20 or more years, Donald Trump. So they are what we call in the law estopped. It's an old word, E-S-T-O-P-P-E-D. They are estopped from claiming anyone else is a Marxist, a commie, or anything else. They are joined at the hip to Moscow, Russia. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all. I saw today Ed Meese's name popped up, and he was defending Donald Trump, saying there's no case against Donald Trump. And if I remember, Ed Meese, you know, left in disgrace, and now he's, you know, high up in the Heritage Foundation. These people have no sense of shame at all. They're completely amoral. I mean, Rona McDaniel, the whole tribe of them, Robin Voss, they care nothing about, you know, democracy. They're just completely corrupt. And I mean, that if I ran into Robin Voss and I would not threaten him, I'd say, I'd just call him a corrupt SOB, and you should be in jail along with the rest of the criminals. He was part of all these guys were involved in, all these high placed Republicans were involved in the conspiracy for January 6th. And it started out prior to the election even happening, in 2020. That there's evidence that he was, you know, that they're plotting this all along, and he primed his crowd to say, well, you know, if I lose, it's good because things are corrupt. Well, Donald Trump lost, and that's it. He's got to suck that up, and that it's time in this state for every single state needs to punish the false electors, including Wisconsin. Not punish, I should say, prosecute the fake electors, and if they're found guilty, punish them severely. I've just had a bellyful. I mean, my list of thoughts, I wish they'd all get the crown of Viserys from Game of Thrones.
Well, you know, you're right on the money. It's what Mark is saying. Trump started to plan this in July and August of 2020. He knew he was going to lose. It looked bad in the polls. And more importantly, he collapsed in the debates. That one of those debates, he goes there, he had COVID, and he was trying to give it to Joe Biden. Joe Biden was smart. He wouldn't hear him. Because remember, 2020 was before the vaccine. I didn't get the vaccine till January of 2021. Some people who were at risk got it in December of 2020, but you didn't stand next to people, and Joe is smart. And then in the second debate, Trump actually fell apart. I mean, I don't know if you remember it, but he was did such a bad job that even his own people said, my God, you know, what did you do? What the heck did you do? And so he was already planning. He was planting the seeds. He was saying, you know, if I lose, you know, now most people don't go into an election saying, if I lose, even if they think they're going to lose, you don't say that. You try to keep optimistic. This guy knew it. And so therefore what he did was he goes, well, you know, if I lose, it'll be because of corruption and we're not going to put up with that. And he was grooming everybody. He was laying the groundwork for everybody. And he knew what he was going to do. And Mark from the SAC is exactly correct that he had it planned and he knew what he was going to do. I see you on the lines coming up. Coming up, and do not hang up because you're coming up. But coming up, I'm going to talk about Bob Menendez and a New Hampshire poll in the Republican Party in the primary that's quite surprising. Coming up very soon.
Yesterday, and I still go.
The Bob. Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Let April Johnson and Route 63 Realty find your seasonal sanctuary. As lifelong Northland experts, they unite buyers and sellers seamlessly. Their full-service agency offers showings, advertising, professional photography, and special programs like Homes for Heroes and free market analysis. April Johnson, your local problem-solving pro, ensures smooth transactions. Contact 715-558-1077 for a free market analysis. Visit them at the 6327 intersection for a festive journey to your new home. Happy holidays from Route 63 Realty.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Rick, the line, Stephen of Green Bay, my friend. Thanks for calling, Stephen. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Matt. There's two things I want to say, and I'll try to make them both quick. I know you have other people holding on the line to talk. The first thing I want to say is the Republican Party, I don't even know how we're still calling them a party, because they're really just a cult. They're a far-right cult at this point. I don't think we can call them a political party. Because they really do nothing that a political party does. They're just, you know, set to aim and destroy. They haven't had an agenda forever to actually run on, other than hatred and, you know, bigotry. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is I'm a younger individual myself, and listening to your program really helps me understand politics, because politics can be a little confusing to young people like me. And I just want to say thank you, because you explain it in a way where people can really understand what's going on. And I think it's important, because far-right media will put big scary words out there that get young people like us, you know, worried that our, you know, country's gonna burn them to flames. But listening to you, it's just really calming, and just to know that things are bad, but they could be worse. So thank you, Matt.
Stephen, thank you very much. That means a lot to me. I deeply appreciate it, and I thank you for listening to the show. I want to talk about Senator Menendez, Senator Menendez of New Jersey, and Bob Menendez. Now, Bob Menendez right now is under criminal charge for essentially being an agent, an unregistered agent of Egypt, and taking a lot of money. They searched his place and they found gold bars in his mattress. You know, I mean, you know, there was a guy, and unfortunately he was another Democrat also, I think it was down in Louisiana, who had taken bribes, and he put the bills in his freezer, thought that they wouldn't search his refrigerator or something. And he had all these bricks of bills in the freezer. Well, Menendez had gold bars in his bed. I don't know what it is with these guys. I mean, I really don't, because they get a decent wage. I mean, they really do. And it's a prestigious job. But in any event, the reason I bring Bob Menendez up is he has done something now that Tommy Tuberville did that is absolutely wrong. And I'm going to tell you what it is and make a recommendation. I told you that they have this rule of unanimous consent. So any senator, one of 100, they all claim that they're this prestigious club. So therefore, they'll all agree and it's unanimous. Well, no, one of them can shut the government down, basically, if he did this enough. And of course, Tuberville is a traitor. He did it to our military. He wouldn't promote any officers for 10 months. Well, two hot wars are going on. And if you say the Red Sea and Yemen and the Houthis, three hot wars are going on. And that's what he did. And he still has a hold in on over 40 Department of Defense senior people with expertise who are desperately needed by our military to guide them. and the Republicans won't even put up 9 votes to break a filibuster. They are hurting our military. But Menendez now has jumped on, and he did it for a different reason, what he just did. He did it because he needs publicity, and he also needs a cause so that he can fight, and then he can go to trial and say, they're getting rid of me because of this. Here's what he did. He put in a hold on 2 appointments that require Senate confirmation. One of them is something subordinate, believe it or not, in the Department of Agriculture. And the other one is a commissioner on the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, which nobody's ever heard of, probably, or thought about. But he did it. He attacked Biden and the Democrats, even though he is a Democrat. And he says that Biden, quote, is ignoring immigrant concerns and caving on border negotiations. Well, first of all, Biden is not caving on anything. Right now, it's the Republicans that are pressing, and Biden has said, we will do some things at the border. I think we should do some things at the border. You see what Menendez is doing, trying to go into his trial, saying he's a champion of immigrants or something, and holding up 2 inconsequential positions. This is very wrong, and I have a question. The House got rid of Santos. He was not convicted, but he was charged. The Democrats squeezed out Al Franken, who's one of our great, truly great senators. And yet they won't, what, throw out this guy? Throw out Menendez? Why don't they throw out Menendez? You're going to throw out Santos and squeeze out Al Franken. And of course, they wouldn't go after Tuberville. Very sad. We're going quick to the lines. Do not hang up. Cam of Nina, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Cam?
Hey, I was hoping that you may have some information on this. If not, totally okay. First, before I forget, happy holidays.
Thank you.
And thank you for educating the locale with your experience. I am seeing people say that the Supreme Court won't be able to do anything quickly regarding the Colorado ruling on removing Trump from the ballot because of a case called Moore v. Harper that they already ruled on, that they're referenced, or the Colorado court is referencing in order to kick him off the ballot. I don't know enough about it, and I was wondering if you'd be able to educate others on it. And if you don't, totally okay.
Sure. Thank you, Cam. I think they're referring to a case out of North Carolina, which basically was supposed to decide the independent legislature theory. You know, there is a thing in the Constitution, believe it or not, that the legislature can pick the presidential electors, and they can also pick the senators. And that was in the 19th century, in the 18th. In the 20th century, there was a constitutional amendment to directly elect senators, but they didn't change that to directly elect presidents. But nevertheless, there's a presidential election in every state, and there are people in the Republican Party who are trying to get rid of that. I have no idea how Moore v. Harper came up in Colorado, but that's the reference. And then the second thing is the U.S. Supreme Court has already just announced that they're not going to expedite the immunity defense of Trump. I'm very, very concerned about how they're handling this. Thanks for calling, Cam. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, there's a minute to go. What's on your mind today, Bill?
I'll make it real quick. I got another alert on my phone. I get that because I like the history. That Mike Johnson asked or is telling Biden to do an executive order for the border. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I'll hang up quick. I think that could blow up in Mike Johnson's face. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. Now, the thing is that the president does have executive authority and an immigration, and we are going to be coming on more on that topic, quite frankly. This is very, very serendipitous. And also, what you won't believe that Ken Paxton, the crooked Attorney General of Texas, has done. A lot of news and weather coming up, and I will address Bill's question.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Have you ever celebrated Festivus? It only started in 1997, but the quirky holiday quickly became a way some families enjoy the season without the commercialism. Even though the TV show Seinfeld helped make it popular, all you need to celebrate? A Festivus pole to decorate, time for airing of grievances, and the party ends with a Festivus feast. Everyone brings a dish to pass. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays!
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.